Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, today we're going to talk about foodborne illness or food poisoning. And Dr. Prather, how many people get sick with food poisoning a year?
In the United States, the Center of Disease Control has it down to about 48 million people a year get some type of foodborne illness. Mm-hmm. And they say that they definitely could be underestimating it.
Right. Are those people that go to the doctor for it, or how do they?
Yeah, they basically get their information from how doctors fill out their diagnoses.
Okay.
So the best that they can tell, they conservatively, is what they said, estimate 48 million people get sick with foodborne illnesses a year.
And I'm sure there's many people that don't even go to the doctors for
that. Correct. Yeah. So, you know, it definitely could be higher. But interestingly enough, that number has decreased.
Decreased. Okay, that's good. We get some numbers that decrease.
Right, I know.
Can food poisoning be dangerous?
Yes, there's 128,000 people who are hospitalized for foodborne illnesses a year. And there are 3,000 deaths per year, which is pretty serious. Matter of fact, it used to be a even bigger problem back in the older days. One of the major causes of childhood death, which was a very common thing before we started a lot of the modern practices, that about half of all children that died before the age of five was because of foodborne illnesses. And the major problem with that occurs is diarrhea. Basically, they become so dehydrated that they die. So that's one of the major problems, one of the major dangers, with foodborne illnesses is that dehydration. So being able to put an IV in has really saved a lot of lives that way.
Mm-hmm. Because of the dehydrating.
Yeah, dehydration from vomiting and diarrhea.
Okay. So it's not as dangerous today?
Yes. Fewer people die from that. It is still in third world countries a big problem. Mm-hmm. There was a big cholera outbreak in 2010, 2011 in Haiti that took about 4% of the population. Mm. And that was usually due to dehydration. Was one of the big things that killed people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's something that is still pretty serious. I mean, 3,000 deaths a year is nothing to take lightly. And that's here in the United States.
No. Well, what causes food poisoning?
Well, there are many things that can cause food poisoning, but basically there's non-pathogenic and pathogenic, but the main thing that I'm concentrating on in the talk today is pathogenic. And usually what we're talking about is viruses, bacteria, and parasites mm-hmm. are the big things that can actually kick that off. So each one of those causes a large number of these.
Well, what are the symptoms of food poisoning? Because do people sometimes think they have a stomach flu when it could be food poisoning and vice versa?
Yeah, a lot of people, when they say that, you know, I had a 24-hour stomach flu. Basically, what they're talking about is probably food poisoning, because with the symptoms of food poisoning, of course, you have the vomiting and diarrhea, but you can also have fever and just stomach upset. You can have headaches. You can have body aches. You can have chills, extreme fatigue. Each one of the different pathogens can cause different types of symptoms. And even in different people, they can cause different types of symptoms. Mm-hmm. So it's something that is variable. But yes, oftentimes people call it a flu, stomach flu, and really what that was food poisoning.
So how can they discern the difference? Yeah.
Well, true flu is an upper respiratory disease. Mm-hmm. So it's not an intestinal problem.
Oh, okay.
So if you have intestinal symptoms, and not upper respiratory symptoms, it's more likely to have been a pathogen in the food that you ate.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's interesting on these is it doesn't necessarily have to. In other words, you don't have to eat something and then an hour later you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
There can be an incubation period, sometimes as many as a week or even 2 weeks,
for
it to then pop up.
Mm-hmm.
So it can occur within an hour or so after you eat, but that's more rare. More likely it's a day or two later and can again be something that can appear as many as 2 weeks later.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's not as clear cut as what people think.
So is it treatable?
Yes, it is. One of the things that homeopathy became very famous for is that cholera is a foodborne illness.
Okay, what is cholera? You don't hear of it.
Yeah, it's actually an infection,
mm-hmm.
From Vibrio cholerae, and that's actually a big problem in a lot of different types of areas. But in Europe, the troops of Napoleon all got sick with cholera, and when that usually occurred, then it would wipe out most of the troops, and they would all be incapacitated. And he thought that his conquest of Europe would be ended. And Hahnemann, the inventor of homeopathy, came in, made homeopaths for all of his troops, and saved Napoleon's army.
Mm.
So that's just a little bit of history.
It would have been totally different.
It would have been totally different. But and at that time, they had no treatments for cholera.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a sort of a miraculous type of thing. So
did they fire the chef?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's oftentimes even water supply.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, having something along those lines is very important. And foodborne illnesses is a very major concern of all militaries. Matter of fact, United States military uses something called Aerobic 07.
Mm, we carry it at the office.
We carry that at the office.
I took that to Africa with me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's an immediate type of a treatment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, if you're talking about bacterial, it can be treated by some antibiotics, so you can get some benefit along those lines. But when you're talking about especially virals, you know, we don't really have anything for that.
Mm-hmm.
Pharmaceutically, but the Aerobic 07 is a product that I recommend everybody carry at home,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's so good in that type of situations that you can put a couple of drops in some water, drink it, and it can oftentimes take care of the infection and the food poisoning,
mm-hmm.
The stomach flu, in a very short amount of time. Because these particular bacteria pathogens are anaerobic,
mm-hmm.
They exist without oxygen, and when they get hit with oxygen, it can kill them and damage them. So that the oxygen drops along those lines is extremely good, especially through the digestive system, as mm-hmm. a natural type of antipathogen.
Well, I know we just traveled out of state recently,
sure.
And we took it with us then also.
Right.
And it's nice you just have a bottled water, put some drops in there, and
right.
It takes care of any of that bad bacteria, correct?
Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about your experience in Africa, what happened with your Aerobic 07?
Oh, yeah. So we had that. We were in a group of 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we traveled even to a village in West Africa, spent some time in the village. But our daughter and I had the Aerobic 07 and used that, put that in our water every morning, you know, mm-hmm. As we went along. We were the only ones not to get diarrhea or get sick that whole
sure.
trip.
Sure.
Everybody else was, and It wasn't like we were holding back the aerobic 07.
Were you keeping it to yourself?
No, but when, you know, but people now use it. In fact, a lot of those people have traveled.
Right.
Out of the country again that I traveled with, and they come and buy their bottle of aerobic 07 now.
Whenever they do. Well, it's interesting, whenever you go overseas, you become used to the bacteria in your area.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you're
even
exposed
out of state,
when you're exposed to new bacteria, it can cause some distress. Traveler's diarrhea is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that aerobic 07 no matter where you travel is a really, really good idea. And it's excellent to keep at home because you can treat, you know, you can get it in there. Some of the other things that you can immediately treat that with is some healing clay. You can get some different kinds of clays. We use Colinorm, Luvos in the office. There are two products that we use.
You're encouraging people to eat clay?
Yeah. of course, why you would do that is it absorbs the toxins. Sometimes it's not the pathogen itself, but the excrements that it puts out are a toxin. And absorbs that and moves that through the body. And also charcoal, activated charcoal can be also good along those lines. Combination. Those
so
are
our
really
colon
good.
Norm, you say, which I keep in our
right.
cabinet, is a clay
right.
colon norm. I really like that because it really normalizes what it says it does. It normalizes
right.
the colon.
Well, it absorbs the toxins, and as it does that, it also stops diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, those are really excellent types of things. But you can also treat that, obviously, with some antibiotics for certain types of bacteria. But yes, it is very treatable. And it's nice to have something at home with as common as this is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have
something natural.
These types of things at home that they can use at any time that they need to.
Now, you said charcoal. Do you carry some form of charcoal?
Well, it's so common you can get it about anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you can get activated charcoal almost at any Walmart or any type of drugstore or health food store. So it's a pretty common type of thing to carry.
Okay, when we come back, let's talk about the number one problem with food poisoning.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what makes your approach and emphasis on the thyroid unique?
We look at it structure functionally, where homeostasis is what is important.
Mm-hmm.
And homeostasis is a balance, and there's a balance in the thyroid that should be achieved, which you can determine. And the people who have a normally balanced thyroid homeostasis is probably less than 1%.
Wow.
Of the population. There are two systems that control the rest of the body, the nervous system, and then also the endocrine system. And as I tell the patients, those are the two things that we need to get fixed first. Mm. You have to have a proper functioning nervous system and a proper functioning endocrine system to be healthy. And the thyroid is sort of the workhorse of the endocrine system. And many of the problems that we see in patients, once we get the thyroid balanced out, a lot of the issues start to clear up. The people who come in here, often 80% of them have had their, because they felt that their thyroid was a problem.
Had them checked,
and they were told that they were normal when.
Why is that?
They're not doing the proper blood tests. They're not reading them correctly. Doctors aren't being specific enough on what the thyroid number should be. The American Thyroid Association has said that the numbers need to be much, much tighter than what they are. There's a different type of a evaluation. There's reference range, and then there's homeostasis. What is a perfect homeostasis? The labs aren't there to tell you what the blood work should be.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying, of the people who come in here, 50% of them have this number. Reference range has nothing to do with where you know,
mm-hmm.
you should be.
Right.
That's
I know
not
you
what
look way beyond them and
right.
tell people, you know, and they come in, well, my doctor said, you know, this
right.
was normal. And
And I say, no, that's that's not normal. I even find endocrinologists not reading lab tests properly to really understand where that should be, because when we get people into homeostasis range, their symptoms go away. That's where they go, oh, wow, I feel really great. All the different things that I was complaining about are all of a sudden now working properly, and that's because they are in the range that I tell them that they should be in.
Right.
Because those are the proper ranges that need to be there.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're talking today about foodborne illness or food poisoning. And Dr. Prather, it's more prevalent than we think. And you said 3,000 deaths
a year in America
from food poisoning.
Yeah. From the Centers for Disease Control is what they said.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, what is the number one problem with food poisoning?
Well, the main thing of the cause of death in a lot of places, and it's not as much here, is the dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was talking about that dehydration. It was one of the leading causes of death in children.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if you go to third world countries and they have a high childhood death rate, it's usually from dehydration because of vomiting and diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that made an amazing difference in the death rate on lowering it and life expectancy is IVs, just putting fluids into the system, really makes a very, very big difference. One of the things is that we do have some homeopathic products at our office that are very well known to help to you add them to water, and it makes it more absorbable, so you can really get that into the system and not throw that up. Hydrate One. I think you've taken that before.
Yeah, Hydrate One.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
and that's a homeopathic.
Homeopathic that helps with the absorption of water, but keeping fluids down. So when you do have food poisoning, you have the diarrhea, vomiting, the main thing that you need to watch out for is dehydration.
Mm-hmm.
So making sure that you're not, that you don't have a problem along those lines is very important. Matter of fact, again, as you're talking about, especially children, that's the number one reason that children die with illnesses is dehydration. So making sure that they keep the fluids up. Even though that they're vomiting on a regular basis, if they really can't keep that down, you need to find a way to get that down and keep it down. Otherwise, that's something that can become a critical situation.
What about, the diarrhea? It's not something we really want to talk about on the radio, but, you're saying vomiting. But
vomiting,
I think
also
some
diarrhea.
People respond, the other way too. The other end.
Oh yeah. The diarrhea is where you lose more fluid
than
even the vomiting. But trying to keep the water down is where that can be a problem with the vomiting. So
interesting. And, I just want to put a plug here for starting your day out with water.
Yes.
I've been really trying to work on that first thing in the morning. A friend of mine shared something that you start your day. 16 ounces of water right when you get up. Drink that. 5 minutes of gratitude and 5 minutes of stretching.
Yeah,
now, anybody could do that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I really like that. Really, that starts your day.
And how you start your day has a big effect.
Mm-hmm. So when should someone go to the hospital? When does it get to a point?
Right. One, of course, if you get a fever over 103, then definitely you should think about going to the hospital. That would be an immediate type of thing. Also, if there's a sense of dehydration, starting to occur, especially if the diarrhea and vomiting last more than 2 days, then that would be something that I would look at someone and say, hey, you need to go to the hospital, probably get an IV, get some anti-nausea drugs, something along those lines to get that under control. So being aware of that, high fever, if there's some neurological signs, one of the things that can occur is Guillain-Barré with food poison, is a neurological.
Mm-hmm.
So I have treated patients who had Guillain-Barré from a food poisoning situation.
I didn't know that. Wow.
So if there are any type of neurological signs, extreme headaches, migraines, loss of motor function, then definitely getting to the hospital right away would be an important step.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about some of the remedies that you can have at home, the Aerobico 7 and how that works.
Sure.
Activated charcoal, that's helpful. What about the clay products you were talking a little bit about?
Well, interestingly, one of the clay products, Luvos, that we get, it's actually imported from Europe. The place that they get it is in Austria, and it's a place that has been in continuous mining for the clay for 3,000 years.
Wow.
So for 3,000 years, they've been digging clay out of there on a commercial basis. With widespread selling of it, even all the way down to Egypt and Middle East, for that particular reason, as a product to help with foodborne illnesses, because you can take that. One absorbs toxins into it, and so it helps them to stop the diarrhea because the body's responding to the toxins. Interestingly enough, it also can damage parasites because it actually cuts them with the clay.
Oh, wow.
Which is very interesting. So it does damage them.
And you want to damage those parasites.
Right. And, there's not too many things. Just another plug for the Aerobic 07. There's very few products that you can take that will go after every single pathogen. Even antibiotics are rather selective, even within the bacterial. Certain antibiotics will work on certain bacteria, and some of the bacteria have developed a immunity to the antibiotics. But the oxygen drops, which not only have a benefit to the infections, but it also is anti-cancer. So you can take Aerobic 07, and it is known to kill cancer cells, which is quite interesting. All my cancer patients get Aerobic 07. And then also it improves the oxygenation throughout the entire body. So athletes, it's a legal means of all the Olympic athletes use that before competitions. So it helps along those lines. But it works on every single pathogen within the body.
Wow.
Because oxygen is very well known antipathogenic. So works on the virus again, on the parasites, and on the bacteria. And they never become immune to it.
You never become immune to it?
No. It always works on the bacteria.
Like an antibiotic?
Antibiotics, they can shift. But with the oxygen drops, they never become resistant to it.
That's good stuff.
So, yeah, it's very good stuff. Matter of fact, that's why the military, of course, shifts people all over the world. And they use that, they give that to their soldiers on a daily basis so that they don't have the problems like Napoleon did with his army. And so it's a military secret. And
you're letting the secret out.
Yeah, I'm letting the secret out. Hopefully they don't come and arrest me. But it's an excellent way of working it. Also, you can use it when you go camping. We take, know a lot of campers, and you can buy it in camping stores along with iodine.
That's interesting.
And then that helps to kill the bacteria.
So is it something you can take every day, or
it's something that you can take every day. mm-hmm. without a problem. And it would prevent foodborne pathogens, food poisoning on a daily basis.
Are you finding, too, are they finding that people are going out to eat more than ever?
Sure.
And does that cause...
Is that a cause of that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're talking about, you know, it's when you're at home, you're more in control.
Mm-hmm.
But restaurants, they are cooking quite a bit of different food. There's a lot of mixing of foods. One of the biggest problems in restaurants is they might take a cutting board and cut up some meat and then put it on that same board and cut some salad.
Mm-hmm.
They cook the meat to the proper temperature, but then you've got some of the bacteria that comes from the meat onto the salad. So it's something to be aware of. One of the rules that I like to do is I only try to get cooked food at restaurants.
That is true.
Yeah. Right. Have you noticed that?
Uh-huh. You're not a big salad eater at restaurants.
No, I'm a little cautious on that because uh-huh. that's more of a common type of thing. Because definitely if you cook up the food above 165 degrees for 15 seconds,
it'll be dead. Anything's going to be.
Yeah, things are dead. Okay, the bacteria's gone. We really don't have to worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about uncooked foods, making sure that they're washed clean, that's a very important type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that can be an easier type of thing to get your food poisoning from.
So let's go back. I know we were talking about the remedies at home. How about probiotics?
Probiotics are extremely, extremely helpful. One, if you have the three things I recommend that people do when they have a foodborne illness is to go on ahead and take the Aerobic 07, which is sort of a magic formula. I mean, people can, within a few minutes, can start to feel the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Take some type of a clay product or a activated charcoal to absorb the toxins that are associated with that. And then also take a probiotic at that time because that helps to settle down the stomach and they will suppress a good normal bacteria suppresses the invaders. Matter of fact, if you have a really good gut flora, it's not going to allow these infections to come in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the healthier you are, when you're talking about infections, you're always talking about a formula in there. You have the strength of the infection, and then you also have the weakness or the strength of the individual. And if you have a really good gut flora, people can eat the same exact thing and one person get deathly ill and the other person have no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they have the resistance that's already there. And they have the good gut flora that keeps that other flora of settling in and just kind of moves along. So there's a war between the good guys and the bad guys.
going on inside of you
uh-huh. on a continual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So adding more good guys is always a good thing.
Uh-huh. All right, when we come back, more on foodborne illness, food poisoning.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I do love the vegetarians. I always get a kick out of when they try and impress you. They're like, I haven't had meat in 5 years. I haven't had a banana in a month. That's me bragging about it. Do you know what they do to those chickens? No, but it's delicious. I love animals. I just love to eat them more. Fun to pet, better to chew.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Well, we're talking today about foodborne illness or food poisoning. And, you know, you were talking, Dr. Prather, how important it is, the healthier your gut flora is, the better you can fight these things off.
Absolutely.
Right. And how do you find out if you have good gut flora? Is that through the stool kit?
Yes.
Or the GI?
Yeah, it's a diagnostic test that should be done on everybody at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
To find out how healthy your gut flora is. Matter of fact, the National Institute of Health is doing a huge study on the gut and its influence on disease in the body. And they were expecting some very positive results off of that. But it has, the people, because I've heard their conferences, listen to them, and it has blown them away. In other words, they were expecting good things out of it, but it's far beyond anything that they expected. The influence of the gut on the health of the individual is one of the major areas and probably one of the biggest areas of exploration and one of the most promising areas on improving the health of people.
You've always said your health comes from your gut.
The health comes from your gut. 80% of your immune system is around the gut. There's a reason for that, because 80% of diseases comes from the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's something that we are finding out more and more, better and better tests, so that we can find out what's going on in the gut, why is it working well, why isn't it working well, and better ways of identifying the infections that are in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So getting a good diagnostic of the gut is critical for your health, and just as important as getting a thorough blood test and a thorough physical exam.
Mm-hmm. And you say do that annually.
Annually,
at least, minimally.
And that has been agreed on by the National Institute of Health. So it's not just Dr. Prather saying that, but the top researchers are saying that.
Well, let's talk about foodborne illnesses. Can they be long-lasting?
Absolutely. That's one of the things that has been found out, is that oftentimes, you know, you have an acute episode of that, but then they can become a chronic problem, and your body never really... The whole reason that you do the diarrhea, fever, all those types of things, vomiting, is the body's trying to get rid of that infection in any way it possibly can. And there are, oftentimes it's successful in accomplishing that, but sometimes it's not. And then those infections get lodged into the body and become a chronic problem.
Mm.
And there are many different types of diseases that can occur from that. They found connection between many forms of cancer. Definitely all the bowel issues, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, IBS, all those different types of things are oftentimes come from chronic infections that have lodged into the body and then weakened the body so that it starts to develop these different diseases. But they're also finding that many other diseases, including cardiovascular, definitely cancer, liver diseases, all sorts of things that can occur from that. In matter of fact, even some emotional types of changes that occur. There are certain types of infections that produce different types of behavior problems. So it's really quite a fascinating type of an area. There was one patient that we had that came in that was not able to carry children to term, you know, babies to term. And we found that she had a certain type of bacterial infection that was in the gut that she had gotten from a foodborne allergy, foodborne pathogen. And that that was the reason that she was having miscarriages.
Wow.
Totally unaware of it. They'd been treating her for a while. And she had come to me just to help with that. We had found that one after that particular infection, which was a very strong one, we needed to also incorporate antibiotics, homeopathics, herbals, aerobics. In other words, we hit it with quite a few things to get rid of it. And then she was able to carry a child to term.
Wow.
So that is just one of the interesting types of things. And that's something that people normally even think about. Matter of fact, the doctor who, her obstetrician gynecologist who was following her, was fascinated by that. And once we told him what infection was going on, he was going, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense. But it never looked to see if that what if that was in the system.
Right. You say a lot of times that's where you're dealing with first is the infections, correct, in
correct.
The body that have been harboring maybe for years or...
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So discovering what those are, figuring out what is the best way to do that. And the lab that we use on that will grow the infections in a petri dish. And then they will go through and see which what's going to work and what's not. So they'll treat it with those particular both natural and antibiotics and see what is the best means of treating that. And then we also get that information back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Sure. So that's one of the
and
reasons.
And you know, and it tells you specifically what infections.
What infection, and then also also tells us what that particular infection is most susceptible to.
Well, I'm due for my annual GI effects stool kit.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Excellent.
I'm going to do that this week.
Great.
You motivated me.
All right.
So how can food poisoning, how can this be diagnosed?
There's a couple of different ways that you can do that. Obviously, a stool kit can be very helpful. There are also some blood tests that can be done. So depending on what we're suspicious of, then we can figure that out. But we do a combination on that, both blood and stool.
So how often should the bowels be evaluated for infections?
The recommendation by the National Institute of Health is that should be looked at least once a year, or if you had had a situation where you had had an obvious foodborne pathogen, where you had had, where somebody thought they had the stomach flu, it would be good to get checked right away after that type of situation. So even if you had just had one.
See if you're harboring the infection.
To see if there has been some long-term type of infection along those lines that could develop, and catching it early is a very positive type of thing.
So we talked a little bit about this, but how are these infections treated, and what kind of results have you gotten?
Well, antibiotics are something that always need to be looked at if that is necessary. There are other different types of pharmaceuticals that can be employed. We do look for those and make sure that anyone who needs those. But again, we approach that from really trying to hit that also with natural. So hitting it with the oxygen. There are also several herbs that we use that we check on to see what might work. Uva ursi, golden seal, oregano, you know, the list goes
that
on.
That oregano is...
Yeah. It's
smell like a pizza when you have it.
And interestingly, they have found that oftentimes when you're treating it, and you do need an antibiotic, if you treat it with some natural products along with it, that oftentimes the results are four times greater.
Wow.
Than just treating with antibiotics alone. So... Mm-hmm. You know, looking at that in those types of ways is very important. And then, of course, we don't want to forget homeopathics. Matter of fact, homeopathy took off because of its effectiveness with foodborne pathogens that had never been able to be treated before. So homeopathy is a very powerful and a very effective means of going after these infections, too. So Also, different vitamin C, seeing what vitamins might be low, making sure that the minerals are balanced out. So it's a very holistic type of a program. Mm-hmm. We don't discount anything and are always looking for what might work the best in each situation. And then we, because we do combine things that oftentimes a combination will work much better than a single product.
Right.
Because it keeps the bacteria, virus, and parasites are very adaptive. Mm-hmm. And they will try to escape and to avoid.
And do they try hide? To,
they hide. one of the common, matter of fact, we have one herbal formula that is specifically for pathogens who go into the kidneys because that's a common place that they go to hide. So we have some herbal formulas along those lines.
I can see the herbs coming in, and, and I'm going to find you.
Correct. That's exactly it. So they hide. They try to change. They try to make chemical protections. So hitting it from several different types of angles really keeps them off balance, and then you can get much, much better results.
Interesting.
With
it's yeah, like, it's like a war going on in our bodies.
It is definitely a war, and understanding how that battle is won is the important job of the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when we come back, more on foodborne illnesses.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, there was a major study by an insurance company that focused on the healthcare model you use in your office. What were the results of that study?
It actually was quite a seismic mm-hmm. finding. I like that term.
Yeah.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. It's a Chicago-based health maintenance organization. The group has 600,000 enrolled members. So they took about 10,000 of those mm-hmm. and put them in with chiropractors who are trained in the structure-function model. Mm. Now, not all chiropractors are trained in the structure-function model. These gentlemen actually got the same type of training that I had. Okay. And they were the primary care physicians. After 5 years, they had startling results. Mm. They had a reduction of 60.2% in hospital admissions.
Wow.
They had 59% reduction in hospital days. Mm-hmm. They had a 62% reduction in outpatient surgeries and procedures. And a remarkable 85% reduction in pharmaceutical costs.
Wow.
This resulted in a total savings in the first 5 years of 40% over all the other primary care physicians.
40%.
40% reduction. If you can imagine that we could reduce our healthcare costs across the board by 40%.
And get those kind of results.
And there were 80% less reactions. There was a reduction in lawsuits. Mm-hmm. There was a reduction in everything. Plus, the people were much, much healthier and much more satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that the specialists, the cardiologist, the oncologist, the gastroenterologist, all the specialists, as they were asked to rate the difference in the two different models.
Mm-hmm.
They gave the structure-function model as the primary care mm-hmm. coming in a 96% satisfaction rating, mm-hmm. and they gave the disease model as primary care a 40%. The results are indisputable.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that freedom, yeah. Streetlights. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about foodborne illnesses or food poisoning. And I don't know how you can take a subject like this and make it so interesting. But you do. It's so informative. So we appreciate that.
Well, you know, that's things that I enjoy reading about and studying. So maybe my enthusiasm comes out.
And physician means educator, and that's sure. Very important. The Voice of Health radio show. It's been going on over 10 years, and our purpose is to educate the public.
We've actually been doing this for 13 years.
Okay. You always know the years. All right. Well, let's talk. We touched on it a little bit in the other segment, but people are eating out a little more. And is eating in restaurants more riskier than eating at home?
It depends a lot on the restaurant. I knew someone who was a restaurateur, and they brought in a team from Central America. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he had to do, you know, they didn't really speak English, but he had a translator, but also teach them what toilet paper was.
Oh, gosh.
And washing hands and the importance of that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it depends on one of the big things on who's handling the food in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they professional staff, or are they, you know, are they familiar with all the hygiene?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that there's good training in the restaurant. And one of the things that you can do is to call up the health department.
Mm-hmm.
Or get on their website, because they do have a rating for every single restaurant.
Oh, wow.
So you can find out how safe, and there's a huge variance mm-hmm. on the rating for different restaurants. And there are restaurants that have been deemed a public hazard and have been closed up. Because
well, let's hope they've been closed up, right?
Right.
I'm thinking these ratings.
So, yeah. You know, but there is a level on the restaurants that you go to,
mm-hmm.
and the health department does rate them on how, you know, it's like they could still be open and be like, well, you know, we almost closed them down 3 times. So, looking at that, and you can either look at the rating, or you can't even call the health department and find out if that restaurant. So, some of the restaurants are absolutely amazing. Probably safer to eat there than it is even at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to point that out, that some of the restaurants, their cleanliness, the way that they run things, you know, I don't think we even take care of things as well as they do.
I know. So, when the kids were small, we had someone cooking for us.
Sure.
And realized that was not a good thing.
Right.
Because of her hygiene.
Correct.
Was causing issues for us. So, yeah, it's real important.
Yes, and one of the things that has made a big difference, you know, I talked about that the number of foodborne pathogens has decreased. Dishwashers
mm-hmm.
have gone a tremendous improvement in the number of foodborne pathogens.
Yeah, just
so,
throw it in the dishwasher.
Right, the heat, you know, of the dishwasher, mm-hmm. they bring it above the heat. So everything that you bring out of the dishwasher, and when you're talking about restaurants, there is a level of heat that they use in restaurant dishwashers
mm-hmm.
that is even higher than what we use here. So some of the restaurants have hand-wash dishwashers
mm-hmm.
still, which is still acceptable, and some of them have large restaurant-level dishwasher.
And if you're like me, I wash the dishes before I put them in the dishwasher.
So, you know, that has gone a long ways in cutting that down. So, you know, there's a huge benefit to that, and that's one of the things, again, that the restaurants that are more concerned about the, you know, patients, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, about the eaters, diners, shall I say,
the eaters.
We'll use a dishwasher instead of hiring somebody who cleans
it. Washing and,
right.
Yeah. My dad used to call that in the sink, cesspool.
Right.
Now, this isn't true for me, but I know for you, sometimes you like your steak rare, right?
Correct.
Is that going to cause food poisoning?
Well...
Or do you just have an iron gut?
Well, interestingly, beef is not as much of a toxin and doesn't hold as many pathogens. Now, pork and chicken should never be eaten anywhere close to rare. Basically, you need to have that at least 165 degrees on the temperature inside.
You're saying pork and chicken.
Pork and chicken are dirty meats.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hamburger should be brought up to 165 degrees throughout it. So hamburger should be considered just like
chicken and
beef. I mean, chicken and pork.
Okay.
So hamburger, because it's ground up, because it's throughout the system. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about steaks, mm-hmm. with it being rare on the side, the pathogens usually aren't inside the meat. They're on the outside.
Oh, interesting.
So on the inside, it's not as important. So you need to get the steaks up to, you know, the outside, well cooked, but the inside can be rare without really as much of a issue,
mm-hmm.
because it hasn't really been exposed to pathogens. And usually, as long as you get it up to a reasonable level of about 145 degrees,
mm-hmm.
For a very short period of time inside, that you're not really going to get pathogens. So having the rare steak, the pink steak, isn't as much of an issue.
No, thank you.
Yes, but you don't like it anyway.
I'll let you.
But you know, that's something that yeah. is very important. But pork, you should never have that.
We don't even eat pork.
Right.
Yeah.
Or chicken. Chicken mm-hmm. should be well done. You can't have, if you are eating a piece of chicken and you say, I'm not quite sure if this is really done, send it back.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to, or pork. Mm-hmm. Definitely it needs to be well cooked.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about washing hands. How
sure.
long should a person, is there a method to washing your hands?
Oh, actually,
I remember one thing your mom taught the kids is to right. sing the happy birthday song.
Yes.
While they wash their hands.
Yes.
And then.
Because you want to wash it at least 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
With soap and water.
Happy birthday to me.
Right. With soap and water to make it effective. And then one of the biggest things that military used to do is they used to have brushes for their nails.
To get anything from underneath the nail.
And one of the things is good restaurants teach their cooks and mm-hmm. their preparers to wash underneath their nails also. So they actually have nail
That's
brushes.
Interesting, yeah.
Because
we
it's...
We should have that in our shower.
Yeah, it's actually underneath the nails that most of the pathogens will accumulate.
Interesting.
So making sure that you get underneath your nails and that you're washing your hands with soap and water.
You said
and you're
20
doing
seconds.
At least 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Can I eat raw vegetables?
Raw vegetables definitely can be an issue. One of the things is you need to wash them well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we also recommend is that you use a nice surfactant as you wash them. Basic H with Shaklee, and then Amway also has a really good surfactant.
Uh-huh.
And that also takes off the chemicals and pesticides. Because you can have food poisoning from chemicals and pesticides, too.
Right.
That can cause
an
incident.
Wasn't there an outbreak, too, with lettuce and
yes.
bird droppings? Or what was that?
Yeah, there's many different types of things on that. I mean, the people who are picking your vegetables and fruits
mm-hmm.
May not be hygienic. So making sure that those are cleaned is a very important aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But cross-contamination is the biggest thing.
Well, we have about 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'd like you just to
summarize. Mm-hmm. Well, one, realize that this is an ongoing type of a issue.
Because we have to eat.
Because you have to eat, and it's much more common than what people ever thought. Mm-hmm. So using good standards of health in your home.
And hygiene
is a very important type of thing. So teach your kids well that they are supposed to wash their hands after they go to the bathroom to get things out of the nails. And then also being aware on your health. And when you go out to eat, check in on the health department, because mm-hmm. they do have a site which actually measures the restaurant. So seeing how well that is and rewarding the people who do a good job.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Prather.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrative practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.